It's November 27th. There's not much of November left, and chances are, if you're in the U.S., you took yesterday off because we're just coming back from the longest holiday weekend of the working year.
Wait, do people take Cyber Monday off?
They do.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the most, like, I'm just going to go ahead and take a vacation day on Monday, because then you get 5 days off, and that's better.
Cyber Monday is definitely the most corporate holiday ever, right?
Yes.
Because, like, the Friday after Thanksgiving, that's not real. Like, Black Friday, it's really just an extension of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have Thanksgiving, you wouldn't take that day off.
Well, but the deal with Black Friday is that it's a working day where, like, most people have off, except if you work retail. So people
are...
Or food. People are going around trying to do stuff. And so that's why that happened. Like, it became corporate because it was like, we're going to let you have a working day off, where everybody has it off, where you can go buy stuff. And so it's like, oh, I'll go to the stores and there's sales. So then it becomes this intense, fierce competition for your attention and which store you go to and something. They only make profit in the last month of the year. I don't know.
Also intense competition in the stores themselves, which is some great video footage every year. I haven't watched this year's crop yet. I've been too busy.
You know where there's not intense competition? Rural broadband providers.
There's anything but. You could almost say that there's monopolies in this world. But good news, we're currently at what, 10-4, 10-3?
Yeah, something like that.
So Ajit Pai and his magnanimous, loves the consumer. He wants to raise that to 25.5. I can't remember what the up is on that.
Yeah, it's not much. Now, let's remember the 96 Telecommunications Act was 45/45 by 2006. And so now it's like, well, maybe we can get 25 megabit in rural areas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've grossly overestimated. Currently 10.1, moving to 25.3.
Yeah, so you don't get any upload at all. The upload's just barely enough for those ACK packets. So that's just sad and depressing.
The other hidden agenda here. And we always have a hidden agenda when it's Pi, right? Is that there was going to be a reduction or a freeze in the money that was being given to the major telecoms for this kind of thing. So he's saying, well, no, let's not freeze that money. Let's keep the money where it's at, but we'll bump the speed up. And so that'll make up for it.
This is the money that they get from the government to offer network access. Meanwhile, they fight to classify their services as information services rather than communication services, so that they can decide, they can editorialize the content and decide what sort of things that you carry. Oh, that's foreshadowing for.
But it's not taxpayer money. You pay this directly on your bill.
Oh, okay.
It's a line item on your bill that goes to.
Well, the FCC allows them to collect it, though.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say no to it.
Yeah.
You can't opt out of that program. So
it used to be the case that it went to the FCC and then back to the providers if and only if they met certain conditions, but that was done away with before Pi. We can't blame Pi for that.
He was definitely talking about, in this article, he's like, it doesn't make sense to serve those people in the business plan, so we have to offset that by giving them free money, of course. And... like you say, there are milestones, or there were, and it makes sense. It's like, okay, we're only going to give you this money if you can actually deliver speeds that we want. And the FCC has this whole system to measure that. And
which has been dismantled in recent years.
So we should know, right? Well,
Ars Technica has another article on this, and it's Ajit Pai isn't saying whether ISPs deliver the broadband speeds you pay for. And this is a little bit of an article that talks about some of those kind of things and some of the problems that they've run into, where it's like, it's up to 100 meg on your connection as long as literally nobody else in your neighborhood is using the connection, then you can have it all. But when there's 50 other people trying to watch Netflix in your neighborhood, good luck getting 3 megabit.
So Ars Technica, actually, Freedom of Information, the FCC on this, they dodged it as long as they could. Then they came back and they said the scope is too large, narrow it down. And so they were like, okay, just give us emails that have this program's name in them. And then they didn't deliver those. And then they came back and they were like, it's taking too long to do this. We don't want to do it. We might do it eventually. And they did get a hold of the third party who tracks all that stuff. Like I think it's survey-based. That might be one survey that I would actually answer, though, like if I knew what it was. But the survey company was like, yeah, we're ready. The reports are ready. we can't show them to you because they only go to the FCC, but we've been doing our job 100%. These reports are ready.
So the reports exist, and it's not a lot of headache to give them, is what you're saying.
Probably. That would be my estimation. Maybe that guy's lying, just to besmirch pie.
Oh, if only there were monetary rewards for blowing the whistle on corruption within federal government. I mean, we'd be millionaires overnight.
Well, you know, we talk about the robocalls. The robocalls are a scourge, and they haven't let up at all post-election. You know, they just switched to a different kind of robocall. And one thing that you don't get a lot of is robo-text messages. But you might send them.
Well, the FCC is considering making text messaging an information service. But this, the whole information service versus telecommunication services, that's Title I and II. That's literally Title I and II that we always talk about.
Yeah, so Twilio is one of these automated messaging people. Now, the FCC is actually ruling against them. So Twilio is saying we should be able to send text messages however we want. FCC is saying, no, it needs to be the communication service because it lets us protect you from spam. But again, there's probably some hidden agenda here.
Yeah.
Because it lets the FCC have a lot of control.
It's information service versus telecommunication services. Information service implies that you could have a different text messaging provider other than your cell phone provider. This is actually sort of a complicated issue because when the whole like terminology for information service provider and telecommunications provider was conceived, it was the telecommunications provider is somebody who provides your physical link, and an information service provider is like a website, or a better example would be Netflix or Hulu or something like that, some service that you subscribe to that runs over your telecommunications service.
But you have things like WhatsApp,
yeah,
which effectively does what they're talking about. What they want is access to SMS.
Yeah, Twilio is arguing, and I think they would be pretty successful in arguing this, is that their customers, if they have customers, are quote-unquote paying for this thing, but a lot of messaging providers block their messages because they think it's spam.
Well, their customers are the people sending them, though,
yeah,
not the recipients.
Well, what if the shoe were on the other foot? I mean, a lot of providers block those SMS messages on that side as well on grounds that it's spam because of complaints. But if the people have actually opted into receiving them, it would be like your telephone number not working selectively.
Especially if you're a competitor of
yep.
a giant mega corporation. Yeah, so it is, it's kind of a, there's no winner in that situation. No. Either we get SMS spam
yeah.
or we get our overlords deciding what comes through to our phone.
Yeah. And this is some of the complexity of the whole Title I, Title II internet argument is in this argument over text messages. So if you want another lens for understanding that argument, you should check this article out.
But you can emulate
yes.
SMS with raw data. So I don't think...
the best example I can think of is Apple's iMessaging service, which does that, which doesn't use SMS at all.
Hmm. And it could be end-to-end encryption if you do it that way.
Yes, and so, in fact it is.
Yeah, so I mean, Twilio, it seems like Twilio wants to prey on
yes.
people who can't not get something.
They're trying to weaponize that freedom that they have, maybe?
Are you foreshadowing it again? Maybe this article about the cable giants weaponizing the First Amendment.
TechDirt is saying here that literally the legal argument from these cable providers and telecommunications providers is that they have a First Amendment right to control the content that you have access to. Now, this is specifically talking about a cable channel that's apparently run by an African-American dude. And apparently the cable companies are like super racist or something.
Well, so he claims. That's a weird thing, though. Like, now, they do take public money. So that's something that you have to consider. Oh, I wonder what the hell you were doing. And now we pause for a moment while we reconfigure the microphones.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, that's good.
Bye.
No, come back. In. Where are you going?
Thanksgiving.
We need Krista. What does Krista think about cable giants weaponizing the First Amendment, where they're like saying what channels, they're exercising editorial control over what channels can and can't be seen?
That's pretty much par for the course. I mean, it's literally every episode seems like we have a story like that, so...
Well, they should. It makes sense. So, like, you shouldn't be able to hold a gun to the head of a cable company and say, you must carry my channel. That's kind of a business decision, right? But they do take public money. But still, like, how many channels are out there that they don't carry? There's got to be a ton, right?
I hope this argument doesn't carry over for websites. It's like, you must not block my website. No, we can totally block your website because we have editorial control. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's confusing, isn't it?
But to block versus not add to our service, it's a much different thing.
Is it though? Because then wouldn't you just say like, oh, you don't, it's the same, like, you could have the package that has social media. You don't need that in the same way you don't need a package that has sports on your TV.
But they have to pay those channels, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's true.
You don't pay a website.
No.
And this, so the argument.
No, advertising agencies are now like watering, like their mouths are watering, thinking about we could charge people to come to our website.
Well, that was the great, like the worst case net neutrality fear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like tiers of
internet.
Tiers of,
which happened, I think, in a South American country.
But the thing about this that maybe separates it is that this guy claims he's gone to these corporate meetings and they were just straight up racist against him and basically told him, you know, he didn't belong there or whatever.
They actually had that in the court filing, so they must have some evidence of it.
I don't know.
They just said it to him outright?
Well, yeah. That's what he said, yeah.
That's basically. Outrageous.
That, I think the quote was something like, boy, you need to sit down and shut up. Right? You know? But wow. This would set a precedent. Like, wouldn't everybody just create a channel?
Perhaps,
yeah. And say, you're racist if you don't run my channel?
That's so strange. This is one to follow, though. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm surprised that that was the legal argument from the cable company. That seems like not the first argument you would go for, the whole First Amendment rights.
And that's not a broadcast channel. That's a cable channel,
yeah.
Which is an extra service that you explicitly sign up for. I don't know. It doesn't seem like free speech to me.
So we're going to follow that one and see how it goes.
Well, we do know that the government loves to regulate, and they're so excited to regulate the internet and cable and everything else. And now, a new player has entered the game.
The U.S. could regulate AI in the name of national security. I don't see this ending well. They classified encryption as ammunition. If they classify AI as ammunition, it's going to be about as effective.
Well, they talk, this article, of course, they cover that some of the best work in AI is open source.
Yeah.
The corporations don't seem to be getting ahead of open source. And with encryption, open source was exempted from that whole regulation thing. So if that were still true, I don't think this would do much. It would create another useless regulatory body.
Yeah. Well, it took a while.
Create jobs.
It took a while before the whole open source thing, because at first, even open source stuff was not... was still considered ammunition. Like PGP, pretty good privacy, went through a lot of headache in the late 90s, early 2000s, from what I recall. Because something. Segue into another story about stuff like that.
If you'll recall, President Trump tweeted that he felt he was being spied on by the Chinese through his handset. And the Chinese trolled him a little bit by saying, hey, if you want some good security, get a Huawei phone. They're really secure. And we all expected Trump to just tolerate that and not retaliate at all, right? Because that's
par for his personality type, you know. He's very noble. And
that's what he does. But shockingly, no.
The CNET article has, U.S. has asked foreign allies to avoid Huawei. American officials are reportedly focusing on the cybersecurity risks of the Chinese telephones. So, yeah. What can you say? I mean...
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. It's a dated reference.
Hide your Wi-Fi.
Hide your Wi-Fi.
I don't know.
I don't.
There's not really... I would like to know what the evidence is that the Huawei is doing anything any worse or better than... Like, all these Cisco backdoors, do we really think that there are five Cisco backdoors?
He felt like he was being spied on.
The OPM
and
hack?
And feels are more important than reels.
Those Juniper certificates? I mean, come on.
I think this is like everything else we talk about when it comes to security. Of course the Chinese are hacking you. Of course they are.
Of course the CIA is also hacking.
Yeah, but everybody else is too. So pick your poison, you know?
If it were open source and everybody were on the same playing field, how good would that be?
That's a dream. That's not going
to
happen.
That's not a dream. It's like, that's the only winning move is not to play. So,
well, you're not going to have a phone?
No, no. I mean to, like, not participate in the arms race of insanity, but to open source everything so that everything is as secure as possible. When you have any kind of a backdoor, whether it's an introduced weakness or a known vulnerability, that's how stuff like this can happen. That's how stuff like the OPM hack can happen. We did it to ourselves.
Yeah, except they want to find out the information. They're not going to not play.
Yeah, I mean,
we have to know. They're like the information. You guys have that friend in college that just like hoarded stuff, and it's like, well, you've got all these like pirated movies and saw, like, what are you ever going to do with all this? And it's like, I don't know, I've just got it. And it's like, why do you have stacks and stacks of hard drives like this? This is crazy.
I did have a friend like that in college.
Or DVDs.
Or DVDs, yeah.
That's who you went to if you wanted a totally legal DVD.
Yeah. I think sometimes that's just, you know, like some people deal drugs just because it's the only way they can be popular.
Maybe. I thought he was a nice guy otherwise, though. But we did go to him for DVDs as well. Like, that was a thing.
Speaking of guys who are only popular because of technology and what they've achieved with it, we've got a story about Mr. Elon Musk.
Elon Musk's extracurricular antics have reportedly sparked a NASA safety probe with SpaceX. So NASA's just wondering, you know, it's like, hey, you guys are doing all this stuff with rockets. Your guy seems like a loose cannon. Let's just, you know, better safe than sorry. Let's just make sure that your safety protocols and all this kind of stuff are up to snuff.
They claim that a lot of people are sort of behind the scenes blowing the whistle that things are, they're playing fast and loose over there at SpaceX. You know?
Safety is our third priority.
Yeah. And of course, they had to bring up him hitting that joint on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Which, like, that seems like that's not really relevant, but
you're not supposed to do that if you work for the federal government, even in states where it's legal.
You don't go to space if you're a stoner, kids.
Well, you might go to space, but not literally go to space.
If you want to really get high, don't get high. That's the message.
Figuratively, not literally. Literally.
And on to foreign news. We all remember the link tax. Was that Article 13?
Article 13.
Article 13, and the world said, this is going to be terrible, horrible things are going to happen, and then nothing happened, and people forgot about it. Well, now, something might be happening.
Google News may shut down, I guess is the word left out of the headline,
yeah,
over EU plans to charge for a tax on links. So this is, Google is actually, I think, fanning the flames here a little bit, not just the link tax, but also the whole, we're going to shut down YouTube in Europe because we just have no way of verifying the content. So this is more of that.
Yeah. They,
no memes in Europe.
They did a similar thing in Spain, I think. And Google, true to their word, just noped on out. They're like, oh, sorry, we won't play ball with that, and your people simply won't get Google News. And they did see a drop overall in traffic to news websites. So I don't think they would care to see traffic drop, though, if they could generate more money overall. Yeah. So, like, who cares how many people read this? We just got to get that paper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what the YouTube algorithm has become. We don't care what the content is or what people are doing. We just want eyeball watch time, and we want to make sure people don't leave the site. So if somebody comes to the site and only does like one piece of content and then they leave, that is not highly ranked or counted by the algorithm.
Well, in the world of social media, this is not the social media section because these are state laws, but it's about social media. And often we talk about stories where people incriminate themselves over social media. It's shocking how often people will do that.
Lawmakers are starting to notice.
They seem to think that somehow people in authority are never going to see it. Oh, there was the great story about the guy who dined and dashed.
Oh, yeah.
At Chipotle, yeah.
And he totally got burned. He could have gotten away with a sweet lawsuit. But he'd been on Twitter talking about committing the crimes that he was using.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids at Twitter.
So now we see maybe one of the most intrusive ways. I guess traveling is worse, but this one's pretty bad.
So this is New York, of course. Where else would it be? This proposed law would let the state search gun owners' social media and internet history. Yes, you would have to turn over your password. Though I'm not sure how that would work with two-factor authentications. Like, here's the password. Good luck with that.
It's only if you're buying a pistol as well, which I thought was strange.
Well, because handguns are concealed.
Oh, okay. But, never mind.
What I mean, yeah. Wouldn't you just, if you know that that's there, wouldn't you just have a fake social media account that you've curated for 6 months to be
like, get started now?
Yeah.
But I would say for the two-factor, they probably just like, because there's a whole, in New York, it's crazy. Like, you actually have to go in and do an interview and stuff, I think.
Wow.
So they probably just make you do it at that time and look through it. So they're searching for a variety of things. It's kind of, you talk about Orwellian.
They would be. This isn't actually a law yet. They haven't voted on it yet.
They're going to be looking for language containing slurs, racial / gender bias, threats, and terrorism. What if you just hate women?
Considering domestic violence is a thing, they may still consider that a red flag. You might not shoot up a school, but you might shoot your wife.
Well, she had it coming.
I guess. But yeah, that's a terrifying thing. And just, wow, pro criminal tip. Don't use social media.
Well, do you think they would believe you if you said you didn't have it? That's another interesting question.
They would likely search for it. Because, you know, there'd be a public. So if they could find it, you would have to give it to them. But if they couldn't find it, yeah, you'd probably just say, I don't have it.
That's not me. That's a spookily similar person who, you know, does stuff that's the same. Never mind.
Well, you remember the Obama phones? There was a big controversy back during Obama's reign. Because he did that program. A lot of people believe that he was giving iPhones to the homeless. I don't think it was quite that.
No.
No.
But it was a program to get homeless people phones, which a lot of people thought was a bad idea. Well, someone who thinks it's a really good idea is the current ruling government in India.
This story was fascinating. So in digital India, government hands out free phones to win votes. So it is working, you know, in terms of like being a popular politician or whatever. The article talks about how it is actually working, but it seems like the article focuses on much younger people. I mean, they talk about a kid who is like 14 or 15 or something and who's using his phone for just literally everything.
Well, the story we talked about too, like the guy's mom, and she was like, they called her right before the election on that phone that they gave her, and they're like, do you have any like concerns or anything? And she's like, yeah, I do actually. And they're like, great, we'll just relay them on, bye. But like, that was it. It was like, oh, okay.
Well, you're not allowed to campaign within like 6 months of an election, something like that. But they were basically campaigning in the guise of, hey, how do you think we're doing? You know?
Yeah.
The other hilarious thing about these phones, the background is the leader guy.
Oh. And you can't change it.
Yeah. And there it comes preloaded with, you know, bloatware, which is all of that guy's speeches and recordings and a news program that's just about him.
Free copies of Mein Kampf for everybody.
And they talk about how these phones aren't really that great and they don't really work all that well, but they always work when these guys call you.
They're not even the $100 Android phone. They're the like two or three generations old $100 Android phone that's just barely okay. But still, if you don't have anything, that's better than nothing.
Yeah. Probably upgrade from nothing.
And it is, you get like a certain amount of data per month. So a lot of these people are in very rural places. And this is only one part of India. I don't, what do they call the state? Municipality? I don't know what they call them. 70 million people.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of phones.
There's so many of those people. Well, we talked about the regulators and their desire to regulate literally everything. And now this guy, former FBI director, he's not satisfied with U.S. regulation. He's telling Australia how to live.
Yeah. The retaliatory cyber attacks are the only way to stop China, says the former FBI director. So I can't say that I agree, but what he's saying is like, look, they're going to intrude, you know, hackers going to hack, basically. They're going to try to get into the infrastructure and the water system and all this kind of stuff. But really, I think that the more intelligent thing there to do would be to create a lot of honeypots that look like infrastructure and, you know, let them do their worst and then have teams analyzing that so that you can shore up your defenses.
But what, the logic to me breaks down.
Because he says it'll make them stop.
Yeah, of course it's like, not going to make them stop. Exactly. It's going to make them do it a lot harder.
Yeah.
It's an arms race. Yeah. Now, of course, you can't just roll over and say, you know, maybe if we do nothing, they'll stop. You know, the pacifist approach. But it's madness to think that China's just going to be like, oh, you whipped us. Good move.
GG.
You taught us a lesson.
No re. Yeah.
And if you want to know how sophisticated this stuff can get, you should really look into how the cyclotrons were sabotaged in Iran, because that story is honestly fascinating.
You're talking about the Stux?
Yep, Stuxnet.
They got a new Stux.
They do.
Yeah.
But it looks like somebody took the Stuxnet code and did some stuff with it to make it their own and re-released it. But I'm not going to say who or why, because we know that they have those tools to make it seem like somebody else did it.
It was a certain nation state that is in the Middle East, but not like all the other ones. Well, we complain. Here we are in our here in the hills of eastern Kentucky, and it's tough getting internet here. It's rough. We live deep in the mountains. But you know who has it a little bit tougher in terms of rural connectivity? People who live deep in the mountains plus snow.
Canada has no plan to bring broadband to rural and remote communities, the watchdog says. Canada's been collecting money for this, and they say that they have a plan, but then this watchdog said, okay, tell us a little bit about your plan. There's no plan.
It's like, there's nothing. Like, they get satellite internet. That'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's literally like, or do you plan to subsidize private businesses to bring that out? Or is this going to be a government program? Is this going to be some sort of like subsidy thing where existing companies will be rewarded? And literally the answer is,
I love those. I get sucked into those stupid shows about, like, you know, Canadian gold mining and,
oh yeah, like
drilling for oil in the Great White North. And you do wonder, like, you know, they'll have little shacks. I guess it's all satellite internet. But some of those places are so remote, and there's a fair number of people living there, drilling oil or whatever. How do they live?
Not with the internet.
That's what those apparently. TV shows are supposed to show you. Are you not watching?
Well, they don't ever cover the most important point of how do they get internet.
If you're in Canada, this is also bad news, because this type of infrastructure planning takes about 5 years. So the fact that there's no plan here means that if they had a plan tomorrow, it's still going to take about 5 years for that plan to be realized.
You also got to wonder, like, how robust does that infrastructure have to be to deal with all that weather?
Well, if eastern Kentucky is any indication, a strong wind or the lightest of rain takes it all out for hours.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you got freezing rain every Thursday. That's going to have to be
serious. Yeah, it's like feet of snow.
Yeah,
factor in snow and like moose chewing through the wires and stuff. I mean, we've at least got the bear population under control anymore.
It's actually been increasing. The black bears.
Don't have a taste for fiber optic cable.
Yeah, they're not really aggressive.
We want bears, right?
Yeah, they are. Mm. It's actually a good thing that we're
pro bear here in Kentucky.
Who wouldn't know that to...
A fed bear is a dead bear. Don't feed the black bears.
Have you been killing bears, Wendell?
You can get a license for them now. You can hunt them.
Well,
it's a very limited take each year.
If you poach bears, let me tell you, you're going to lose credit score. And that's going to be bad news for you if you're in Beijing.
Beijing to judge every resident based on behavior by the end of 2020. This is that AI thing that we were talking about where the cameras will literally recognize you and what you're doing. And it sort of knows the stuff that's going on, and it knows what is happening to you and this kind of thing. And I don't know if it's the next story or if it's going to be in the nonsense section, but it's really sort of like this sounds really Orwellian, and it is really Orwellian, but this plan is already well underway. It's already been in implementation for several years. We've reported on it a few times, but it's literally a personal credit system where, like, if you smoke or eat on the train, you're going to get demerit points, basically.
It's going to be in the nonsense section because I completely forgot about it because it wasn't formatted correctly. So you talk about how it's been in use for a while. I was shocked by these numbers already in the program, and it's limited use. Like, it's not already even all of Beijing. 11 million flights and 4 million high-speed train trips have been denied. People thought they were going to take a little trip, and they scanned their ID or whatever. Maybe not even that. It might have been the facial recognition. I was like, no, bro.
Does it even tell you, like, what you did, do you think?
It's
just like your account has been suspended.
It does tell you stuff you can do to raise your credit score.
You can donate blood.
Yes.
And wow. Raise your credit.
You can literally give your blood to buy back your imaginary government points.
Well, I was going to say, like, what if you work really long hours and it's like, I'm going to eat on the train, and then someone complains about it, and then your score goes
down.
That's
not okay.
That's antisocial.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, now I can't get to work all my crazy hours.
Yeah.
But I need to eat.
Better donate some blood.
What you better eat extra so you can give that plasma up 2 or 3 times a week.
I don't think you can give plasma that often.
Yeah, you have to regenerate. Plasma's
weird, yeah.
I know, China might have the same kind of rules as we do.
Yeah, plasma might be like, give as much as you want. Right. It won't hurt you.
Well, good news, if you're a donator of things inside your body, specifically organs, they're going to be able to get to their destination much faster.
You can have a kidney. I've got 2. I only need 1. Maryland test confirms that drones can safely deliver human organs. So the story here was pretty interesting. They got a kidney for donation, but it was a little too damaged to use in a human.
Gently used.
Gently used kidney. And so they decided that this team has been waiting for a while to do some trials with human organs, but they didn't want to take the chance on something going wrong with the organ. And then that organ meant for a human being, they would not get the transplant. So they used this dud kidney to do their analysis, and they found that they could get the kidney across town faster with less bumpiness and with a more steady temperature than they could with conventional means.
So here he is.
Look at it.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this is especially designed just for this purpose, because this has individual motors in each of these little rotors. So there's no heat in the base, because you don't want to heat up the kidney. That's bad.
Warm kidneys. Disgusting.
This kills the kidney.
It's going to be 2.5 degrees C.
And it also has stabilizers. And they've figured out that this was actually less bumpy than a propeller plane delivering it, which is one of the fastest ways that you can do it. So, obviously limited in range, but it's not for, long trips. Because organ donations are usually just within a radius anyway.
Yeah.
So, this is like, you get in a car accident and get your head chopped off one side of the city, somebody's on the list on the other side of the city, and they're prepped by the time the organ gets there, and it goes right in.
I think the max trip on this was 2.5 kilometers, which is a pretty decent, good trip, yeah. For, you know, being
And you could probably bunny hop those things, right? Like, you could just whip it off one, put it on another one.
It's easy to imagine hospitals might get this system on the roof. Like, there's just a shed on the roof, and it's like, fire up the drone. We've got an organ, and they just go up there, load the coordinates in it, and it just zips right over to the. I mean, just the logistics of it is way easier sounding than any of the other alternatives.
Are you guys organ donors? Do you have that on your license?
No,
I think I did sign mine.
I signed mine.
I never have.
Do you not want to give away your organs?
I'm not necessarily opposed to it. It's just not something I ever think about.
I don't need them. Take them.
And this is going to be great, except in New York. Because all the private Amazon helicopters are going to run into these things and just kill more people.
Oh, can you imagine walking to work one day or walking to class, and then it's like there's a drone collision overhead and a kidney falls on you?
Yeah, a kidney just slaps you in the face and you're like, what is this? And then the helicopter hits you. Well, let's say there is a horrible helicopter accident or any other sort of act of God that takes place in New York. The good news is all of your Black Friday orders that are UPS at least – we'll be routed around it.
UPS is using AI to deliver holiday gifts in the worst storms. So it looks at the weather patterns and it seemed to be indicating that even order volume, because sometimes, certain routes might be overloaded or something like that. And the AI factors all of that in. And it's we've got to route your New York stuff through Memphis.
Because if they shut down an entire hub because of weather and everything goes to another hub, that'll overload it.
Yeah.
So it'll actually guard against that, and it will spread everything out.
It's exciting. Exciting times for AI because I need my on-time deliveries from Amazon.
It is pretty amazing. Although I don't think Amazon uses UPS, do they?
They do.
I thought they were FedEx and private.
We get at least some packages from UPS.
That sounds right.
Maybe it's not Prime. Maybe it's third-party shippers. I don't know.
But that is very cool that just because one city is cataclysmically destroyed doesn't mean we have to wait for our packages.
Like some sort of savages.
That's what's important, right?
I have a feeling this is how the society, the collapse of society comes about. It's like some washer maker on the Canadian-US border stops making washers, which creates a supply chain issue, which cascades to somewhere else, and all of a sudden your Amazon Prime grocery deliveries can't happen because of a chain of dependencies all the way back to the washer maker in the rural town just outside of, Vancouver or something.
And then 50 more companies step up to fill the void. And then we have too many, and that destroys the economy.
Well, I'm saying that because AI is running the supply chain, nobody really knows what happened other than everything just ground to a halt.
I thought you getting a house was going to destroy the economy.
Well, have you seen the headlines?
No.
Things aren't going well.
Everything's going to crash now that you bought a house.
It started affecting Bitcoin first.
Yeah.
And it's just going to cascade.
Well, I've seen Bitcoin going down.
Oh, Bitcoin breached 3,000, which is...
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't checked on it since like last week.
That's like, I could actually lose money on Bitcoin. I never thought that would be the case. It's like, I got in so early. How could I lose money? And here we are. Well, I remember we talked, I don't know if it was last week, we talked about the 24-hour AI Chinese newsman. Remember him?
Yep.
And his speech
I thought it was fine.
But it wasn't great.
It was not.
It was obvious that he wasn't real. And Alexa suffers from the same problem. You can tell Alexa's not a real girl.
I honestly thought Alexa's sample recording here was an order of magnitude better than the Chinese one. But still not great.
Well, that's where I was going with this. Alexa will now get better at her speech.
We're also announcing that we're quitting the news.
Alexa's just going to do this.
We're just going to have an Alexa sitting here.
Be sure to check out the Level 1 stores, Holiday Guide,
Holiday.
Patreon, and there's affiliate links. Alexa will soon be able to read the news just like a professional. They've got some sample recordings. You should go listen to those. We're not going to play them here.
Just like us, you know, because we're so professional here at Level 1 Tech.
We don't do the newscaster inflection, but the newscaster, like,
the non-regional diction.
Yeah, she knows. She knows.
She's probably already programmed with non-regional diction because they didn't want to confuse people.
Probably.
But she is still, I don't think, as good as Google's Duplex.
No.
That was doing the hair appointment.
Google's Duplex that was doing the hair appointment. Google opened that up a little bit more because people were skeptical about it. And there is a place where you can go and you can access that through the API now. And they've got 5 or 6 different voices. And it is that good. Like, you can feed it something and it knows and it sounds like somebody is just reading it on the other end. Honestly, I think Google is just messing with me. Maybe that is actually what's happening, but you feed it stuff through the AI and you tell it a little bit about what you're doing and then you get this thing back and it's like, it is really good.
They're just burning money.
Yeah.
They have like a bunch of people with pleasant voices locked in cages deep under the Google facility. And they're just, you know, they tase them if they don't read whatever's
there's a sign on the wall. It's been crossed out. Don't be evil.
If they don't read it perfectly, they get tased.
And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then...
Don't work on the... Well, I would say that if you don't want to be a part of that, you need to work on your resume, because a lot of people that are graduating from college are otherwise unemployable.
Yes, resume, as we call it here in the land of the free, and other people call it a CV, curriculum vitae, which I believe translates into work of your life or something like that.
Yes.
This is my life's work, to work at the Safeway and bag of groceries.
For my my art thesis class, like, we had to do a CV instead of a... resume.
Well, you probably did it wrong because you didn't have this tool.
This CV compiler is a robot that fixes your resume to make you more competitive. I am very sad that humanity is reduced to making your curriculum, you know, vitae, a 1-page or 2-page paper. It's like, this is my life's work. And then you, like, who wouldn't look at that and weep? I mean, it's just, mine basically says computer janitor, and it's just.
But I mean, on top of that, they talk about how employers and, you know, hiring people weed them out at just rapid pace.
Yeah.
And this thing, this is only for tech people, but this claims to be able to format it and shift things around and put the right language in there to keep you from being part of that quick cutting, you know, to fix the common mistakes.
37% of the resumes that I read have basic grammatical and punctuation errors, like the most basic of basic punctuation and grammatical errors.
When we were hiring for an editor, we had some weird resumes and portfolios come across.
I'm not even talking about there and there. I'm talking about like 2-paragraph run-on sentences.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Modern students are not good at the English language, it seems.
But it's weird because there are, at least at our school, there was resources to have your stuff reviewed by a professor or by someone at the careers office. Like,
literally just spell check in Word would help these people.
Are you insinuating that the people that get thrown out on that first cut of hiring deserve it in a big way?
And software is only masking the problem?
Could be. But that thing's free. If you want to go use it, if you're going for a job, why not? Why not give it a run? See what it comes up with.
What if it changes, like, your female? It changes your name to, like, a male name.
That'd be funny.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the modern, like Google and Facebook, that ain't going to help you.
That would be a fun social experiment, though. It's like Michelle's to make their name Michael and see if, like, literally that's the only change and see if the automated, you know, they get an interview or they didn't get an interview. I'm actually okay with tools like this as long as somebody's going out of their way to, like, use it and make it great. But if some talentless hack can sign up to a website and they can just sort of pound the keyboard with their fist into their CV and then the robot will turn it into something reasonable, that's bad because that's wasting the employer's time.
I can't remember what the company was. Remember, there was some company that was using AI to hire tech workers?
Yes.
And the AI was, it found real patterns. And it's unfortunate because one of those patterns was there was a certain women's college.
Yeah.
And if it saw like, that, I was like, no, we've never had anything of value from here.
Yeah.
Just get rid of this.
There was also just like the way that women phrase things. Like just the writing style was slightly different, and it started to, because the sample size that it had before was mostly from men, it started to select against the women. It's like, oh, unintended consequence, but not looking real good.
It's like the AI where they train it with racist data, and it's like, oh man, why is this AI racist?
Oh, Tay, Microsoft Tay, the Twitter account. They're like, I can't believe this happened. It's like, well, you kind of put it out, and 4chan found it. I mean,
we do.
Well, this story is, usually I like to front load the good news stories, but we only really had this one. So I wanted to put it at the very end. It's like, you know, a wholesome ending. This story is, it's one of those things where, you know, science can do some terrible things. Like it can create an AI that tracks your every movement and won't let you on planes if you're an asshole. But then it turns around and does this.
These paralyzed individuals operate a tablet with a brain implant. They actually did a surprising and impressive array of things with these brain implants. They ordered groceries from Amazon. I think they played a game or something. They wrote messages to each other.
One woman played the piano.
Yeah.
See, she had this interface, and she was a musician before. All these people had Lou Gehrig's disease, so they're severely limited in their movement. And so the way this works is it's not like a special interface. It's just, they got this little chip in their brain. They described it as baby aspirin size. So,
yeah,
pretty small. And then they got this little, you can see sort of, I guess this is the reader here. And they used a regular off-the-market tablet with like a virtual mouse. And these people just did everything with their mind through that little...
I want one.
Are you ready to go through the surgery?
I've experimented with eye tracking for stuff like this, and I never could quite get the formula exactly right to my liking. But it turns out eye tracking is handy when you have a lot of monitors for moving your cursor around really quickly.
Well, you might want to wait, because the maximum they could get here,
well, like Gen 3 or 4.
33 words per minute.
Yeah.
That would be a little frustrating.
That would be a little frustrating.
But if your current is 0 words per minute, 33 is pretty great.
I have always wanted to wire up the eye tracker to use blinking to fire in first-person shooters because the response time is so much better.
But then you're closing your eyes.
You're not
going to
get better at COD Blops, Wendell. He's so frustrated when we play it.
I am too. And I know a lot of people talk about the hit detection and all that stuff, but I'm sorry. It's just that we're bad.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's we're bad, I think, but sometimes I do genuinely think like the amount of armor... And the times you get what's supposed to be a hit and it's clearly not, it's like, I don't...
I used to be a good Half-Life player.
But how are the other people... Oh, you know, what was it? The 25th anniversary of Half-Life this week.
Yeah. The 25th anniversary of Half-Life this week, and it was also the anniversary of the general theory of relativity, which was, like, I don't know. Like, understanding that was... Like, that's the first time that I maybe understood something that was artistic, because it was just... It was pretty.
I don't know if most people would describe that as artistic. But, you know, a couple of facts to make you feel old. And that's what we'll leave you with.
Yeah. Damn you, Gabe Newell. Bring me my Half-Life 3.
We had some good news and then we just kind of ruined it. So, sorry, guys.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, but the good news is if you're driven to, you know, try to take your own life based on that bad news and you mess it up, you can still send text messages maybe.
Wow. That makes me feel better.
Please join our Patreon. I'll see you later.